Friday morning, 2020, TGIF, right? Well, you know, whenever a person starts preaching divide, they're going to get attacked. People don't like to hear the gospel. I had a guy tell me one time, I get tired of hearing the same thing all the time. Death, burial, and resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection. Well, you know, there are 42 pages, if you look up the word crucified in the Bible, there's 42 pages having to deal with his crucifixion. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Matthew 27:22. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. No, I've had all kind of people making allegations against me and everything, especially after the message I did yesterday on majoring on the majors and not on the minors. I have a question for people. Did the Apostle Paul, did he preach any sermon just on biblical cosmology? Solely on biblical cosmology? No. He wove it into his message, didn't he? Did he preach any messages on conspiracy theories of the day? No, but he wove it in, didn't he? Did he preach any messages on the Roman government? Well, he talked about the fact that they did. He was a Roman citizen. He questioned the right, whether they had the right to scourge him or not. But the major portion of Paul's ministry was on the election, predestination, the gospel, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what it says. Okay? That's what it says. Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts 4:10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Why do people hate the gospel? You know, they try to say that the gospel is something other than the gospel. Good morning, Eddie, Danita, and Joshua West. They cannot stand the truth, the good news that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners and that he died on a cruel and rugged cross. Why is the cross of Christ so offensive to people? Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now there are going to be people out there that are going to take this video and they're going to edit portions out of it. It's amazing what they can do. They can make you say something totally different than what you say by editing out portions of your video, giving people just partial truth. There's a person doing that with my videos on the social media on YouTube. He's taken many, many videos and edited things out and made me say things totally different than what they say. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Well, if you're going to proclaim the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, guess what? They're going to come at you with a vehemence they don't like to talk about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You can call me every name in the book. You can call me a false prophet. You can call me a taking things out of context. You can make all kind of allegations against me, okay? They made all kind of allegations against Jesus Christ, so I'm in good company. And the reason that I'm so hated is because the central focus of what I'm doing is pointing to the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ for his people, and the fact that he was crucified on a cruel and rugged cross of Calvary for our sins, and then he rose again, and then he's coming again for us. Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad that I don't have to shut up about Calvary. I'm glad that I don't have to I don't have to write a 600-page book about the cross of Christ or Calvary, because the Bible's already filled up with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I don't have to write an adjunct model, okay? And I'm glad that Jesus Christ died for us according to the Scriptures. He rose again for us according to the Scriptures. And that he's coming again for us according to the Scriptures. It's amazing how people will take what you say and make it mean something totally different than what you're conveying. Jesus Christ is our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Mark 15:32, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may say and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Not only was Christ reviled by the people that were watching him being crucified, but he was reviled by the thieves on both sides of him, reviling him. 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach, but we preach Christ crucified. Notice what it says about certain people and their response to the message of Christ being crucified. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Is preaching Christ crucified to you, is that a stumbling block to you? Is preaching Christ crucified foolishness to you? Would you rather spend all your time on talking about everything else under the sun? Well, I never get tired of talking about the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. John 19:16, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. John 19:18. Where they crucified and two others with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. Matthew 27:26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Mark 15:15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Mark 16:6. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Well, Acts 17:3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I'm preaching unto you is Christ. Why do people get so bent out of shape when you preach Jesus Christ and him crucified? Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. If you want to spend all your time on everything other than the cross of Jesus Christ and him crucified, go ahead, be my guest. But you're not going to shut me up. You may try. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord's laid on him the iniquity of all of us. All of his people. Well, I'm glad that we don't have to shut up about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that even though people may call us all kind of names for spending so much time on it, say we're a false prophet, say we're taking things out of context, when we're merely pointing out what the Apostle Paul and the apostles and Christ's followers affirmed. John 19:23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was also without seam, woven from the top throughout. They crucified Jesus and took his garments. 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Knowing not that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Do you get tired of hearing about the Calvary? Do you get tired of hearing about the cross? Do you get tired of hearing about the precious blood of Jesus? I'd rather hear about the blood of Jesus. I'd rather hear about the cross. I'd rather hear about his perfect sacrifice for his people than any other subject. Okay. What is it that we believe upon? Romans 3:22 2, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Okay, Romans 5:11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Why don't you people who are calling Larry a false prophet, why don't you spend more time on the atonement of Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that he died on a cruel and rugged cross of Calvary, that he shed his blood for his people. Instead of spending all your time on lamb blasting everybody else. Why don't you do that? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:12, for I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 3:14. Well, we have no other hope than the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. There is no other hope. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Put that in your edited video. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports us in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Shall suffer persecution. Why is it that they lamb blast us? Why is it they put up 15 videos calling us false prophets? Why is it? That's a good question, isn't it? Acts 16:31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Well, Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. People want to call me a will worshiper. You know, it's amazing how they will attack you. Here I've written a book on the lies of free will, and they call me a will worshiper. Isn't that interesting? Well, Jesus Christ is having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1:5. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and the God the Father who raised him from the dead. It's not through the will of man. It's through the completed work of Jesus Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. Well, this morning, let us realize, good morning, Rick Vitoric. Yeah, I agree with you. If it's set up, God is still going to talk about it. Yes, he's going to reveal himself to his people. Hallelujah. They can tell you to shit. They can come against you. They can lie about you. They can scandalize you. They can say all manner of evil against you falsely. They can call you every name in the book. Yesterday, I was called a devil. You know. doesn't the scripture say something about touch not mine anointed? You know, doesn't it say something about that? Isaac Eunice, welcome aboard. Well, you know what? He says if you're in Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. And you know what? Let them come at us for preaching the gospel. And then they want to try to say the gospel is not the gospel. Let me tell you something. The gospel is the gospel. 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are under God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, I'm glad that Christ died for us. I'm glad that he rose again. I'm glad that he's seated in heaven. I'm glad he's coming again. And I'm glad we have record of his crucifixion. Luke 24:46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Well, why did Christ come into the world if it wasn't for him, his mission to die on a cruel and rugged cross of Calvary for us? Why do people get so bent out of shape when you start talking about the fact that Jesus Christ being crucified is the central theme of your message? You know, that's the major thing. That's why Christ came. Scripture says he came to save his people from their sin. That was his mission, was it not? Well, people want to get sidetracked. Go down all these rabbit trails, you know. Well, you know, John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Well, we are drinking of that spiritual rock, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4. They did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Speaking of the Old Testament prophets and the church in the wilderness. And we're drinking of that same rock today, are we not? Well, this morning, let us remember that Jesus Christ did a wonderful, wonderful thing when he laid his life freely down. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I never get tired of telling the good news. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I never get tired of reiterating or answering the question of why. Why? Why would Christ care for a sinner like me? Why would he care for a sinner like me? You know, we don't deserve his mercy. We don't deserve his grace. Why would he love me before the foundation of the world? Why would he suffer and die on the cross? Why would he pay such a tremendous cost? Why would he promise to come again for me? Why would he send a comforter while I await his return? Why would he love me forever and never from me turn? He did it because he loved me, not because of any good that I would do or have done. He did it because the Father gave me to his Son. He did it because of an eternal pact, the victory he has won. This love I will never fully grasp or understand, but love answers the why. It was his eternal plan. Let it be understood exactly what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like the Apostle Paul said. I'm a despicable, vile creature who was raised up from the dead. I deserve the wrath of God, but it was placed on Christ instead. When I think of how vile and wretched this poor sinner really is, it gives me pause to wonder how awesome Christ forgives. To suffer, bleed, and die on a cruel, rugged tree, and cry out while he was dying to forgive a sinner like me. What a marvelous act of mercy and kindness he did to me show when I deserved to be cast into hell there to forever go. All my praise and worship should sing forth for eternity for Christ bleeding and dying to save a wretched sinner like me. Well, I want to conclude tonight, this morning, with this little poem that I've entitled, Mockery and Scorn. Others may mock and scorn your and my confession, but Christ is our eternal possession. Purchased by his blood, dying on the cross, bearing all our sins, what a tremendous cost. So go ahead and mock and scorn if you want to. They mocked and scorned my Savior too. His perfect sacrifice has paid the ransom for me, and this will be my only final plea. He will say, come home, my child, I did this for you. And all my tears will be wiped away in the New Jerusalem, and all the scorning and mocking will then be through. Well, I'm glad Jesus Christ paid the price. And that is the hope that all of us have in the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary for us. May the good Lord be with you this morning is my prayer. God bless.